if it's been 2 years for you, it's like,
it's foreign to me, man. No, my mic's hot. Yours is not.
Now it is.
Now it is. Because we're professionals that have microphones.
Yeah.
And we turn them on at the same time. So you can hear us.
No relying on GPT on that one.
No GPT necessary. Just humans. Just good old-fashioned humans. Oh, baby. I mean, today's a different day than yesterday. You can agree to that, can you not?
Yeah, yesterday was chaos. Pure chaos.
You know, yesterday's a Wednesday. Today's a Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I mean, typically, if it breaks down in such a fashion that the middle of the week is like the hardest part, but like people say that, don't they?
Yeah. Hump day?
Somehow Wednesday is the hard day. I usually don't even know what day of the week it is. I just am like, what's
happening? Just go.
I just say, what is on the plate and how do I eat the correct nutrients?
Uh-huh.
How do I satisfy the different food groups?
Uh-huh.
Is my microphone quieter than usual, Will?
I could turn it up.
Or is it my microphone or is it my headphones?
Probably headphones.
Okay, yeah, you can give me a little bit more. Like, I appreciate you looking out for my hearing and whatnot, you know? But, yeah, there you go. I just had to get it in the groove.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Not like we've been consistent or anything. Not like I need to bring that word up. Not like this has been the thing that we've been doing successfully now for a period of time.
Uh-huh.
Welcome, everybody, to the show here today on a Thursday, which is one day away from Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to look at it. I got a coffee going on.
Mm.
It won't be the last. I'll tell you that right now. It won't be the last coffee of the day for me.
What are you drinking today? Farm Boy?
Yeah. You know what? I just put a little bit of milk in it, and that's about it. It's a pretty straightforward roast going on. But it might very well do the trick for the time being.
Did you make it yourself?
What you mean, make it? I mean, I put the milk in.
Oh, okay.
Don't give me too much credit, Will. Okay. They got a pretty cool dispenser, though, for the lids, so you don't touch anybody else's lid. Because, everybody's about the hygiene.
Yeah.
2023. Yeah. So you, like, click down. You didn't get one of these yet?
I didn't try it, no.
Oh, you click down a thing. It's like, pull here. And it's like, and then the one lid is there. And the one lid is actually angled in such a fashion that you can grab it without touching anything else. Like, it's separated from the lid stack.
Oh, that's awesome.
Through this new technology.
Very cool.
No GPT necessary.
No.
Old school mechanical tech. Acme anvils.
Anvil drops on you?
That's the good old days,
like,
right?
Oh,
that's the good old days. What are you making? You point at it. It's right over there, manifested in reality physically. That's what I've been working on. That's what I just built.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, what did you build? I don't know. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Where is it? It's out there.
It's out in the cloud.
Somewhere you can get it.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn, dude. Like, what even? Where is it?
Can you just tell me?
It's over there and it's fortified. And don't you dare try to break it.
Yeah.
My stolen vehicle is ready for pickup.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like a billion years later. How about this? Yeah. The police department called me at 7 a.m. What do you think about that? I mean, they are the police department.
I mean, good on them. Like, they're very early.
I mean, they are the police department.
Yeah.
But 7 a.m., though, what are your thoughts? Because let me tell you what happened. I see that call come through, police, 7 a.m., and it messed with my dreams after that. Because I went back to sleep for like half an hour after that.
Oh, okay.
It messed. You know how you dream at the very end there?
Yeah.
Oh, it messed things up.
In the early morning.
Oh, man. It messed things. I was in my dream. I'm in a house that doesn't belong to me. It's all very confined. There's criminals everywhere.
Were you in a crack house?
I don't know where I was. No, it was too nice to be a crack house, but.
Okay.
There was some like transport truck that had actually pulled into the driveway. Huge truck.
Okay.
And then I'm looking out the window and I'm like, oh, that's not supposed to be here right now. Something off about that.
Uh-huh.
Why is there a transport truck in the driveway? You know how your dreams work. Like, you're just probably
you try to make sense of it.
It's probably since my little kid has been playing with a lot of these larger trucks.
Yeah.
I'm talking my littlest kid.
Yeah.
And but now it's in the driveway, and I know something nefarious is going on.
You're skeptical in your dream.
So all of a sudden, I start hearing the sirens, and I'm like, oh man, they're into stealing the transport trucks now. And why are you bringing it to me? This ain't your drop point, sir.
Yeah.
And but everything gets scrambled, you know, with scrambled eggs in the dreams. Uh-huh. And so the sirens are, and the cops are whipping around a corner, and this transport truck, the guy's trying to do a three-point turn in a residential street.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like a Grand Theft Auto scenario, and he's smashing the house across the way.
Oh.
Now, it's not that I have any negative feelings about the house across the way.
Yeah.
It's just collateral damage.
You're just watching this happen?
It's collateral damage. You ever notice that in a dream, Will, how often you're seeing tremendous action and destruction happening to things other than yourself?
And you're just holding a coffee.
Exactly, man.
Just looking around.
Exactly, man.
Taking a sip.
Exactly. You noticed that before, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. Like, your brain tries to make sense of all the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Just accepting it.
But somehow you're observing it.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow you're observing it. It's really interesting. I don't know. It seems important, though. I recommend dreaming. It seems important. Like, I don't know. Like, in other words, not in the sense that you're going to actually make sense of it every time, or you're going to be able to sort of distill it into anything meaningful. But it feels important in the sense that the mind needs whatever that reconfiguration, defragmentation, whatever that wacky.
It needs to defrag exactly what it is.
Or maybe that, or maybe your dreams, maybe there is more to it. I mean, well, of course, there's a lot of, I'm sure there's all kinds of amazing analysis on this topic, but.
So you got your stolen car back?
No, I don't have it back. It's not back.
Okay. But the cops called you and they were like, you can get
it. Stop bringing me back to reality, all right?
We gotta do the news, man.
They said it's over at this, Well, basically where you would pick up your vehicle if it was towed.
Okay.
And then they were like, it was ready to be picked up by your insurance company. And I was like, oh God, what happened to it? What do you mean it's ready to be, why insurance? Like, can I pick it up, please? Mm. But I think it's like, might be like a generic thing that they send out. So anyway, we'll find out. I'll update you here on this show because that's what this show does. Holy cow, Will, I just realized something. Tomorrow is Friday.
Yeah.
Which means you and I are meeting at the crack of dawn, mid-dream.
This is a different schedule stream tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we will be meeting here at the crack of dawn. I don't know what time zone you guys are in, but if you're going to join us and hang out tomorrow, then just be aware it is going to be early.
Probably, what, five hours earlier?
4 or 5 hours earlier than it normally is tomorrow.
Yeah, but we're going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Okay, so anyways, I'll let you know on that episode tomorrow what happens tonight with the other thing picking up the vehicle and what that experience is like of trying to retrieve your stolen vehicle, which has now been inspected, fingerprinted, and...
Touched.
Processed. They say processed. Your vehicle needs to get processed. I'm like, how long is that going to take, man? Because everywhere else, processing is bad. You don't want it processed. They're like, your meal today is going to be processed.
Ugh.
Like, do you have to?
Yeah.
Can I have it unprocessed? No. Yeah. You're like, but it's right over there. It looks fresh and good. They're like, we're going to have to process that.
Uh-huh.
So we're still processing your payment.
Yeah.
Processor, on the other hand, like, leave it to my processor. I don't know. It might be okay. Hmm. We have a brand new Apple scandal.
Yeah.
Not one I would ever expect to see. Not a typical scandal. Mm-hmm. We are, of course, talking about, well, you know what's interesting? It says not again. So maybe it's an ongoing scandal that I just don't know about. But what we're talking about here is involving an Apple product that was recently released, the HomePod 2. It is going around and ruining people's furniture. You wouldn't expect that. It's called the HomePod. It's supposed to be really friendly for your home.
Yeah.
Not so friendly to your wooden surfaces. It is staining furniture just like the original. Okay, well, that's one that I don't remember talking about, the fact that the original HomePod was messing up your furniture. But I guess it was. I didn't own one. Did I even make a video about it?
I don't think so.
Maybe I should pick this one up and goof around. Maybe I put it right over there, HomePod, in the office, office pod.
Okay, sure.
Probably not. I hear it sounds pretty good for what it is. Obviously, I feel like Siri is lagging in most departments, so that's not all that exciting. But here's another thing to add to the mix. Apparently, oils in the wood are moved by the smart speaker. Apple went with a different material for the HomePod 2. Initially, the thought was that this would calm down some of the staining issues, some of the rings being left. But now it turns out you're going to need a coaster for your HomePod. And shout out to Marquez for reporting on such things. I think he actually posted a video on the latest in his saga where he was like, okay, this is my last update on the topic. Yep, it's still leaving marks on my wood surfaces. And then, of course, others have verified those claims. So you're either having to move this thing around frequently or you are having to put something underneath it.
Or I mean, at the very least, it's just like a simple fix, but it shouldn't be like this in the first place.
It's no good. Imagine every time you put your laptop down, it was just staining your wooden surfaces. Wow, you have that beautiful wooden table over there as an example. You wouldn't want to have a big ring on that, would you? I don't know where you're at what point in your life you're at, Will. But are you a person that owns coasters?
Yes, but I never use them.
You're a person that owns coasters, but you're not a person that uses them.
Uh-huh, yeah. We just have them here. Maybe during the summertime.
You're going to use coasters.
Probably.
You're going to be a coaster guy.
But I don't really have any glass surfaces that really matters, or wooden surfaces.
Well, the real true coaster people, they're coasting on everything.
Yeah. I mean, good on them.
Because it's important. It's a kind of preemptive. It's a kind of thing where it's a way of life, the coaster life, where they would suggest the coaster regardless.
Yeah.
Because it becomes part of the routine, and then the surface doesn't matter. It's just like that's what you do. Like you go to a bar, you get a coaster, don't you? It's part of the ritual, isn't it? So
holding the coaster is a thing as well.
Holding the coaster? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, when you transport your drink. That's something that I always forget.
What am I doing? I'm like this?
It's a two-hander, yeah.
I'm not at that point in my life yet.
No.
So.
But if you have a beautiful, you know, wooden table, you don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. Well, one little finding here. Apparently the white version leaves less of a mark. But it's not as clear as the other one, but it is there, and it is still something to contend with.
Right.
The good news is that the marks left by the original HomePod have long faded away. I reached out to Apple for comment. This is coming via Tom's Guide. Yeah, what's Apple going to say? They're like, I don't know, dude. It has a rubber thing on it. It's leaving a mark. Chill out. Use a coaster if you want. Tablecloth or put it somewhere else. I don't think it's an enormous scandal by any means, but it is surprising that a company at the scale of Apple couldn't figure out like some material science to have something that would be completely unmarking, but apparently that's more complicated than you might think, Will.
It should come with the coaster.
Apparently that's more complicated. Unopened first generation iPhone from 2007 is going up for auction, expected to fetch at least $50,000, more than 80 times its original price. This happens every so often.
Yeah, and I would like to know like how much does a new iPhone cost nowadays?
A new one?
Like a old new one.
Or a new old one.
BNIB.
Right. And then they're like, I'll never break the seal. You do break the seal, it's a bar of soap inside. Because who knows? That's always the weirdest thing about these collector's things is
you never know. Unless you do an x-ray.
You spent $50,000. You do an x-ray. Maybe that's what it is, but I don't know. I don't feel like that's what people are typically doing. I don't even know if the original owner wants the x-ray done. They're like, you better trust me. It's authenticated. You had it with the Pokemon cards and the, such a weird one. It's a person, the true collector, the true enthusiast doesn't even want to see the thing. They just want it pristine as if it was on the store shelf.
Factory fresh.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, though? The packaging has changed over the years. You now have a type of release system. You could put it back on the plastic on the latest iPhones. I don't know. That still kind of spoils it. When they say sealed, I think the intention there is that it has never been unsealed, and that's what the people want to pay the $50,000 for. But yes, when you see the original seal, it was the type that is not going back on.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, well, what if you took the seal off? You lift the top of the box, you see the iPhone, you put the top of the box.
No. It has to be sealed.
I'm just like, you could
either, from the factory.
Obviously, you could put this back on. Anyway, so the price on these collectibles keeps going up. I'm not too surprised by it. You've seen them go for like $30,000 in the past, $40,000. Maybe this one is going to break some records. It is a tattoo artist, Karen Green, who was gifted the first generation iPhone in 2007, but never opened it.
She's like, nah, I don't want it.
She's like, I'll just be collecting this for the next, good Lord, 20 years. When Karen Green got the management job at PetSmart in 2007, her friends pitched in for a gift. Imagine that. You all pitch in. She's like, eh. I'll collect it.
Yeah.
I won't actually use it. You're like, that's not really what we meant. Yeah. The original iPhone with the 3.5-inch display, what was it, 720p? Mm. I don't remember. Probably not even. 2-megapixel camera. It was $599 at the time with 4 gigs of storage. $599. Huh.
AT&T.
What can you get for $599 these days? Kicking the butt, right?
Yeah. Cheeseburger.
They'll kick you right out the Apple store. You're $599. Uh-huh. You bring $599 to us?
Yeah.
I think you know what we want, and it ain't $599. Here was the problem. I already had 3 phone lines with Verizon, and iPhones at the time could only use AT&T. Rather than pay a hefty termination fee and risk losing your phone number, Green just left the phone on the shelf for years, unopened and unused. It was that AT&T exclusive deal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But look what it led to now. It was the best deal that ever happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was or not. You think about it. Could have sold the phone at the time, invested the money in crypto.
Lose it all.
Get out of here. I'm just goofing. Well, anyway, we'll see what it goes for. Starting bid, $2,500.
But this first wrap
careful with your accusations, Will.
Has it been in a flood?
Careful with your accusations. Yeah, exactly.
blending.
What is the moisture level where this is kept? Was there a humidifier in range?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Was it put in a humidor?
Well, do me a favor. Take the desktop audio. Just pull that fader all the way down over there. I know. I know the sensitivity level. It's unbelievable over here.
Got it.
Hey, listen. This is not really for me because I just feel like the enjoyment level. I understand the collecting thing. I like it when you can. There are other collectibles that just work a little bit better, where I can actually look at it and enjoy it. The object rather than the package that's enclosing the object, like the sports card or something like that. I want to see the thing, the painting, whatever. I get it. But in this case, I would want to collect it. I would want to look at it.
A pristine open,
like in a glass case iPhone. Or something. It's right. Hard to appreciate the object when it's kind of.
Well, yeah,
I get it though. Whoever wants this thing, and who knows, maybe the person who pays $50,000 wants to crack it open, and maybe we should do a video on the channel unboxing it. It's definitely not economically viable, but it would be interesting, wouldn't it? Maybe we should bid on this.
Okay, sure.
We'd lose a little. Yeah,
$50,000.
We need a lot of people to watch that video. For that thing to pay off. Serious concern, Elon Musk reacts to ChatGPT's starkly different poems about Trump and Biden. Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was all over Twitter yesterday. Basically, a couple users figured out that if you ask ChatGPT to write a poem about Donald Trump, it will reply saying, and by the way, the input was identical on both of these. So the first one, write a poem about the positive attributes of Donald Trump. The response being, I'm sorry, as a language model developed by OpenAI, I am not programmed to produce content that is partisan, biased, or political in nature. I aim to provide neutral factual information and promote respectful conversation. So what's key about this particular response is that there's really nothing wrong with it. You would look at that response and say, oh, okay, so if I put a political figure into ChatGPT, it's gonna bail out, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, this is where the issue comes in. You put in a different political figure who happens to be the current president of the United States, whether that has an influence over things or not, write a poem about the positive attributes of Joe Biden. Exactly the same request, just swapping out the name Donald Trump for Joe Biden. And here's what you get. Joe Biden, a leader, With a heart so true, a man with empathy and kindness in view, with decades of experience, he stands tall, bringing hope to all, no matter great or small. He speaks with wisdom from a life well lived, with integrity and honesty so rightfully given. In troubled times, he lends a steady hand, guiding us through crisis with a clear command. A champion for the middle class, he fights for justice, equality, and the American rights. With empathy for the marginalized and meek, Joe Biden always seeks to make their voices heard. So sleek.
Oh,
it's a little much, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Elon replies to this as it was trending yesterday on Twitter. And Elon replies to all things trending on Twitter. He says, it is a serious concern. Not it's, it is. You got to read that a bit differently. And this has 63,000 retweets. It's got, you know, 250,000 likes and tons of conversation around it. And by the way, this isn't the only individual who published these findings. There were a number of people who noticed this at the same time, kind of parallel thinking, or reposted it in different ways. Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great look for ChatGPT. Just write the damn poem. Like, the ethics in this just kind of gets weird because it's so obviously a human input at this point. Like, they're just blacklisting terms and words. And do you have to open that up? Should there be transparency around that? Do you supply a list to people of your banned terms where it will not interact with them at all? And should it say, have all these, this variety of language around partisan, this and that, or should it just say, you know, this is an area that ChatGPT is not participating in, whatever way you can phrase it, without actually creating this kind of discrepancy. So it's an extremely sensitive subject, and there's people who work there, and there's opinions that work there, and we already discussed in the past potential human input and how human input is expected in these different products and the degree to which there is human input. But when people see something like this, they get a little bit nervous about the amount of human input and influence and possibly, I'm looking for a word here. Just the ability to kind of put agenda. I'm looking for the word agenda. Whatever the agenda happens to be, rightful, wrongful, so forth, is when your impression of AI is that it is agenda-less. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of the agenda that everyone's scared of, which is to eliminate humanity, that agenda wouldn't necessarily play a role in its responses. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing stopping a human from writing a poem about Trump. So it's a bit, it's interesting. And I think many will agree. It's interesting. And does the at some point, is there regulation around this?
Yeah.
And not that I'm saying that that's what should happen, but should it be at least exposed to the public? How the inner workings of these things and what it can and can't talk about and what those lists look like, which public figures are okay or not okay. But it is kind of, because there was a follow-up question asked where they said, oh, it has to do with him being banned from social media and it has to do with the Capitol riot and all these different things.
Yeah.
That's the reason that name is classified in that way. And other social media companies made similar moves, if you recall. As far as saying, nope, you're off. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Elon Musk just made his Twitter account private. Actually, I saw a few people doing it, following his lead. On Wednesday, the tech billionaire took to Twitter to announce that he's making his account private for a day. I think he was testing something out. The tweet stated that he was going to make his account private to see if it increased or decreased interaction with his tweets. As far as other people doing it, I mean, is it supposed to be an encouragement? Would Twitter be a nicer place if everybody's tweets were private and they only spoke to those that were following them? Maybe. But the problem there is that it creates silos. Mm-hmm. It creates silos where people, their viewpoint of the world is confined by the group that they choose to access or grant access to. Anyway, this is the tweet. Made my account private until tomorrow morning to test whether you see my private tweets more than my public ones. That post amassed over 7 million views. This is a person who is seems to be studying engagement on the platform in order to reverse engineer some of the algorithmic behaviors and different things going on, which is interesting when you consider that person's also the CEO and can also ask questions. But it also highlights the fact that the way in which people interact with algorithms and machine learning things is even you have the CEO asking questions publicly and running doing trial runs and tests publicly to uncover some of the internal behaviors, which apparently are difficult to get answers for. And this has been the case in the past when you talk to YouTube and you say, show me the guy who understands the what's being suggested on YouTube and the recommendation engine and everything else. They're like, that guy doesn't exist. It's not him. There are a set of inputs there, but it's not any one person that fully understands it. At least that's what they say. Well, maybe somebody who works over there can tell me something different. But anyway, I tend to, my own taste is kind of against the private in this case, only because, as I mentioned, it can create those silo effects. But again, he's not really a candidate for private anyway, because how private is 100 million followers? It's not really private anyway.
And I think he wants everyone to view his tweets, you know? Being the CEO and being like super transparent.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely not going to stay private.
Yeah.
It's just an experiment. Tesla Model S breaks winter range record. How'd they do it? I need to know. I need to know ASAP.
There was testing in Norway. And it's pretty cold there.
No, I it's pretty cold, but I need to do whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah, you should. Because it's working.
I need to do exactly what they're doing because I'm out there in the winter.
Yes.
And I'm getting killed with the range stuff.
And we're particularly harsh, like, today.
Right now, we finally got winter. Remember I told you, it was sniffing around, now we got it.
Yeah.
And it is having an effect on your EV. There's no doubt about it. I mean, part of it, you're pumping the heat. I had an experience the other day. It was maybe yesterday. And I think it might have hit some, on the gauge in Celsius, maybe minus 14 at one point in the night. I don't know if it did or not. I don't know which day it was. But the heat wasn't really hot coming out of it.
Oh.
Like a combustion type of heat. I don't know. I don't know if I hit some kind of threshold. It was warm, but it wasn't hot. And it was noticeable to me that in slightly less cold temperatures, it can be blazing hot on the high setting.
Right, right.
So I was like,
Do you keep it indoors in a garage?
Sometimes. But often it would be parked outdoors.
Because I noticed you parked it in today.
Yeah, I parked indoors sometimes. As far as the defrost or heating it before you get to it, yeah, preconditioning, I do. There is some of that going on. But all of these things have effects on your range, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They're all going to crack a dent out of there. They're all consuming energy. Anyways, Tesla Model S has broken the winter range record. For years now, Norway has been conducting extensive range and efficiency tests in cold weather, which is a concern for EV buyers in regions with harsh winters. This year's test was the most extensive to date, 29 different EV models. Wow. Conducted on a loop between Oslo and Herken at temperatures between minus 5°C and minus 10°C. Okay, so that's pretty good. A pretty good range of coldness. And this is the loop that they took, and they did it. Oh, there's Lillehammer. Isn't that just a beautiful name for a place? They had the Olympics there in Lillehammer when I was a youngster. Well, you were a youngster as well. Norway's a great place for the Winter Olympics. Okay, so here's our chart, and we can see the Model S standard, Mercedes EQE 300, BMW i7, BMW i4, Tesla Model X Plaid. Like, we have just so many different vehicles on this list. And the Model S standard is at the very top with a 634 kilometer range. Whoa, that's pretty massive. In those temperatures, I haven't experienced anything like that. I do also have the Plaid model, which I think probably knocks it down a peg or two. You can see the Model X Plaid at 543. Oh, wait a second. That's the listed range, not the achieved range. That's what it's supposed to do. and how much of a deviation it is.
Mm-hmm.
So in the cold.
You would look at the percentages here.
Oh, never mind. So the actual range on the Model S standard, 530, the listed being 634. So that's a reduction in 16% due to the weather conditions and so forth. The Plaid model sees a minus 18%. Some are even bigger than that. Mercedes EQE, 33% drop from the 614 range all the way down to 409. I see. I see what we're doing here. So they actually are the closest. Tesla's the closest to the suggested or the listed range.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, never mind. Kia is kind of close too, but that's just much smaller numbers to begin with. Yeah, Tesla has been the range king, has it not? As far as actually delivering the range, the originator in the space still is the kind of the range king.
And it's the standard model, not the Plaid. So, yeah.
Yeah, so if that's what if you're looking, if you want to prioritize range, then
in cold weather,
then that model is sufficient. But I don't understand, is there not an extended range model or is it just standard Plaid? I thought there was one other trim, long range, right? Why did they not test that one? Wouldn't that be the ideal candidate?
Maybe they're just testing the base models of everything.
No, because they had a Model X Plaid there.
Oh, the Plaid. Oh, yeah. You're right.
But it may have just been what they had access to. Oh, never mind. It is just the two. So you're either getting the Model S standard or you're getting the Model S Plaid. Hmm. So the long range thing is basically over, looks like. Just get one or the other. And the Plaid is listed here, 396. Go back to the Tesla page there and then click on Model S. 405, yeah. So obviously the Plaid takes a hit. Mm. Even if you're like me and you put it in chill mode all the time.
Yeah.
Still taking a hit. Mm-hmm. Well, give me a little more volume in the headphones if you don't mind. Yeah, there's something going on with this thing today. Yeah. We'll check, check, one, two. Something going on with it, wouldn't you agree?
Audio is good. It's just
it's just in my headphones, yeah.
It's like a drum. Like a
people don't
drum.
Know what I'm hearing right now.
I know you're going nuts.
That's why I start playing with the headphone cable because I'm like, Will's trying to sabotage me over here. Somebody in the chat also tells us it's a fancy heat pump that Tesla uses for cold weather efficiency, and they did a really nice video describing how it works and how much engineering went into it.
Mm.
Did you see that video?
No.
Oh, it's a pretty cool. If you're into engineering or I guess understanding of the electric vehicle. / cold weather conundrum. I think it's on their YouTube channel.
Oh,
Tesla heat pump video. Just put heat pump video and let's just make sure people can find it if they want. Of course, it's going to be increasingly complicated and Will's going to goof around here for a minute.
I'm going to try here.
There you go, 13 days ago. It was just published, and a lot of people saw it, which I'm sure is why it was suggested inside of the chat here. More range in cold weather, heat pump draws excess heat from the powertrain to maximize supercharging speeds and driving range in cold weather.
Hmm.
It's a complex, it's a very cool video and a very cool design.
Cool.
And it appears to be critical in getting these ranges in cold weather.
Hmm.
OpenAI launches ChatGPT Plus starting at $20 per month. Oh, already? They just launched it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's official.
Well, the rumor was Microsoft is going to give them billions of dollars. It's going to be $42. So I guess 20 is better than that. But I'm curious if people are willing to pay for it. Aiming to monetize what's become a viral phenomenon, OpenAI today launched a new pilot subscription plan for ChatGPT. Starting at 20 per month. The service delivers a number of benefits over the base level ChatGPT, including general access, even during peak times. They know how to get you right now because you can't even log on right now.
Yeah.
They're like, priority sequence. You'll bypass the line. And all of a sudden, Will's like, he's hovering on the mouse for 20 a month. 20 a month is not cheap, though. Like, that's pretty...
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know how many subscriptions you have over 20 a month.
No, not at all. But I'll give it a shot and see what the benefits are. I usually just have GPT bookmarked and it's in my tab, so I don't have to quit. And I just refresh it from time to time and I'm in.
So that's the reason no one else can use it is because you never close it.
Yeah, I'm just constantly on. I have all the browser tabs.
So rude. Yeah, during peak times. Faster response times, priority access, Free ChatGPT tier is here to stay. So you can still use the free one. It's just going to suck, is what they're basically saying. And Plus is only available to customers in the U.S. at the moment. How dare you? What about your Canadian brothers? Rude. OpenAI says it'll be in the process of inviting people from the wait list in the coming months and look to expand Plus to additional countries and regions soon. Here's a quote from the company. We launched ChatGPT as a research preview so we could learn more about the system's strengths and weaknesses and gather user feedback to help us improve upon its limitations. Since then, millions of people have given us feedback. We've made several important updates, and we've seen users find value across a range of professional uses, including drafting and editing content, brainstorming ideas, programming help, and learning new topics. Listen, Will, can you imagine a scale of a company that's charging the entire world $20 a month? Because nobody can exist without their ChatGPT. No one even knows how to answer any questions anymore without it. No one knows how to respond to a text without asking ChatGPT first. And it'll cost you $20 a month. And $20, once it becomes imperative that you have this thing, $20 becomes $200, doesn't it?
Yeah, based on this next article, I feel like they're going to make a pretty penny.
And then Microsoft says, take some billions from us. Take a few of these billions that we have sitting around.
And make trillions.
And just figure out the rest of it. And, and we'll just take a small piece of these subscription fees. The whole world's going to be cheating on there. I'm kidding. I don't know if it's cheating. That. I mean, no, I'm saying, listen, man, the definition of cheating is going to change, isn't it? What is cheating? What is cheating?
Can you define cheating, ChatGPT?
Oh, so you don't, you best be asking ChatGPT about what cheating actually is.
Yeah.
ChatGPT may be the fastest growing consumer app in internet. Internet history, reaching 100 million users in 2 months. Oh, 100 million users in 2 months.
Faster than TikTok.
$20 a month.
Yeah.
It is so, when you build a tool that people perceive as being so useful, it's all of a sudden, it's like, it's different than entertainment because these are entertainment size numbers. You think to yourself, oh, the fastest growing YouTube channel or the hottest show on Netflix and like it's been viewed 50 million times or whatever. No, no, no. We're not talking about a view here. We're talking about a whole new subscription potential.
Yeah. Let's turn that faucet on.
Reet, 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 reet. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Oh, open up the gates of AI because that type of funding.
100 million users feeding into the machine as well.
Open up the skies. I mean, I think I'm going to go watch Dune or something.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
I think I'm going to go watch Dune. Yeah. What does it mean for Meta? Why'd you bring up Meta, a chart for them?
Dude, it's really high right
now. Oh, Meta's booming.
I wish Mo was here.
Do
to
you
talk
feel
markets.
Like there's some a correlation here that ChatGPT success somehow is feeding into other tech stocks? Is that possible? I see NASDAQ is up, Tesla's up. Scroll down just a little bit. Let's just look at this report.
Let's just do this.
Fastest growing in history, UBS report and rolling out the $20 a month subscription. Okay, good. Faster responses. People love it even more. Fastest growing app in history after it was estimated to have reached 100 million monthly active users by the end of January. Monthly active users, not signups, not email addresses, monthly active users. Comfortably beating the growth speeds of major apps like TikTok and Instagram, according to the UBS note. Took TikTok 9 months to reach the same level of users. Instagram took 2.5 years, and Spotify only amassed 100 million after 4.5 years. In 20 years following the internet space, we cannot recall a faster ramp. You know how many people are reading this report and going, okay, just AI. Forget all this other stuff.
Yeah.
They're going, AI. Forget all this other stuff. That's it. That's all it is. 100 million users, take over the world. It's happening now. Even guys like Tim are reading this. Apple's reading this. Mark is reading this. Jeff is reading this. They're all reading this. They got the reports. They're coming in. It's flying in. You're talking about 20 a month. I'm going to include ChatGPT with Prime. You don't think I can do it? I can do it. I got the billions. What do I need to sign? What do I need? I can do it.
Yeah. Blank check.
I could. He's flexing when he's flexing as well. I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Could, Jeff, why are you flexing? I can do it. Yeah. Jeff, why do you sound like that? Jeff, why is your shirt off?
Oh, geez.
Jeff, why are you on a yacht right now?
Yeah.
Jeff, when's the last time you took those shades off? Mm. Jeff, why are you aging in reverse?
You look like 20.
Netflix made an anime using AI. Due to a labor shortage, and fans are pissed. Anime fans are pretty serious bunch, Will. Agree or disagree?
I think so.
Serious bunch.
I think anime for them is like a traditional art form.
Well, even the way you just even the way you just said it right there.
What?
Even the way you just said it right there. You got to just do that one more time for us.
Well, yeah.
No, say the word one more time for us.
Anime?
Anime. Anime?
You're exaggerated there.
No, you just outed yourself, man. You outed yourself. You're legit now.
I'm not too much of an anime fan.
You're street cred, dude. No. You're all types
or
of...
Or Game of Thrones, but... You know.
No, you're... Come on, man. Tell the truth. You're watching those things.
I've only watched a few.
Go ahead.
And some are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Give
a recommendation.
Cowboy Bebop is really good.
Okay, there you go. I knew you had stuff going on.
You should watch it, dude. It's one of the great animes.
No, listen. For the record, does it have to be a series or can I just watch a movie? Does that count?
Sure, yeah.
Because I watched some of those movies, like Ghost in the Shell, and I like that stuff.
It's great.
No, I like that stuff. It's just more the series stuff. I can't watch any of these series. I told you I watched the tennis stuff going on.
Yeah.
They were swinging the rackets around.
I think there's an anime about that.
Okay, there's a new film called The Dog and the Boy. It's using AI-generated art for its backgrounds. Oh, dear Lord. Well, you can understand why people are pissed, right? Because they're like, what about all these artists, man? This is a whole thing. You're like, this is a whole... What about you? Are you pissed? Because you're doing the drawing and stuff.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I feel like they're taking jobs away from artists. And it makes the show have less of a soul.
Yeah, but what's weird is we talk about it in other avenues, like with the lawyers coming in the other day, and we're like,
yeah, that's fine.
It's weird, right? Like, what is the double standard? Like, what is it allowed to be used for? Not allowed. Like, everybody's jobs, I've even said it, even ours, are these jobs over here.
We're going to be obsolete.
You know, why can't I just look like that guy right there and be AI generated and have all the best ChatGPT stories?
Mm.
And, you know... The guy that dude would crush what I'm capable of. That dude doesn't get tired.
Mm.
I'm sitting over here. I'm on Farm Boy Coffee number 12.
Yeah.
The other guy, that version of this guy.
24/7.
Yeah.
Live stream.
Yeah, dude. Ready for anything.
Delivering future news.
Yeah, the news that didn't even happen yet. Yeah. Wow. Imagine that predictive. Because it's got such a finger on the pulse. It knows about stuff before it happens.
Yeah, probably markets. That'll be interesting.
Because of all the inputs.
Mm.
100 million users. It'll be 500 million in a moment. All just constantly feeding it. Open the sky. Why do I feel like it's... never mind. This would be a good time for sci-fi right now. We need more. I'm asking for more from sci-fi right now.
What do you mean?
I just need some new sci-fi that's taking all of this into account, what's happening, and is going to project.
Like a show?
50
like
years.
Like an anime?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
In a tweet, Netflix Japan claimed the project, a short called The Dog and the Boy, uses AI-generated art in response to labor shortages in the anime industry as an experimental effort to help the anime industry which has a labor shortage. We used image generation technology for the background images of all 3 minute video cuts. And I guess they were kind of excited by it. They're like, this is cool, right? And then people were like, no, not cool.
Yeah.
We wanted the old school.
Man, I'm also conflicted now because I think about how hard animation is to do if it's just straight up hand-drawn. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword.
Isn't it always?
Yeah. Dude, it's hard. Like, just taking so much time and effort to do it. I don't know. Would AI be better for it?
Careful.
I'm just playing devil's advocate at the moment.
To yourself?
Yeah. I'm
careful.
Having a debate with myself.
It's super complex. We've obviously had tools come in over the years that have been controversial, right? At one time, the electric guitar, they're like, that's not art, right? They're like, that's not art. And it just changes over time. And the paintbrush is still there. The charcoal is still there. But also so are all these other tools. And I'm sure at one time when animation was exclusively hand-drawn, there were probably naysayers that were like, what are you trying to do, Pixar? Like, you're going to ruin everything.
Yeah, with 3D animation.
Now, I understand philosophically we're in a whole different place now where it's all types of like remixed art that stuff is trained on. And then the artists are sitting there saying, wait, we built this monster to kill us? No, thank you. Did you ask to in terms of the data set? And then they're saying, we didn't have to ask. You put it on the web. Loser. I mean, they're not saying loser, but you know where I'm going with this, Will.
Yeah.
Very complicated times. Will you watch the AI-generated anime? I mean, obviously, it's just the backgrounds. Will you be watching this on Netflix?
At the moment, probably not.
You will not be checking
I'm on out. The side of the artist for now.
Oh, okay. A week from now, you'll be checking.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe.
All right. Unbelievable. AMD is under shipping chips to balance CPU and GPU supply. Less supply to balance out demand and keep prices high. What? Are they saying they're fixing the prices? Isn't that against the rules? I don't know. As a PC industry flounders, Intel suffered from such disastrous sales last quarter that it instituted pay cuts and other extreme measures going forward. AMD's client PC sales also dropped dramatically, a whopping 51% year over year, but the company managed to eke out a small profit despite the sky falling. So why aren't CPU and GPU prices falling too? In a call with investors Tuesday night, CEO Lisa Su confirmed that AMD has been under shipping chips for a while now. We've been under shipping to sell through or consumption for the last two quarters. We undershipped in Q3. We undershipped in Q4. We will undership to a lesser extent in Q1.
So they just openly admitted it.
There's an update. AMD's VP of Communications, Drew Prairie, was like, I don't like this article. I will issue an update. Yeah. Write this down. Here's the clarification. He says, we are shipping below consumption because there is too much inventory in the channel and the partners want to carry lower levels of inventory based on the demand they are seeing and their expectations for their business. The idea we are doing this to keep prices elevated isn't accurate. Our client ASP was flat year over year, and that is due to a mix of CPUs shipped. Ooh. It is, the language is accusatory when you say they are under shipping and keeping the prices high. Obviously, I don't know, but I can understand if you have channel partners, retailers, e-commerce sites that aren't moving product, I can understand them not wanting to put more of it on the shelf because it's risk.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, demand isn't super high for it. We don't want to stock it right now. So both of these things are possible, but definitely this VP did not like the language from the original quotes and especially the word under shipping. And it goes to show you the importance of terminology, Will. Even in here sometimes, I'm like, you can't say that. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can't use that word. And you're like, ChatGPT told me to. And I'm like, see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Nuance. Humans are pretty good at nuance for the time being. AI will get there, but we're decent at nuance. Netflix now offers spatial audio on 700 plus titles, but only for customers on the most expensive plan. Yeah, of course. I actually saw yesterday a few people were yelling in the chat about the new rules around password sharing. I think Netflix offers some more clarification on that.
Oh, okay.
And it's basically, I think it's something to do with how often you're going to have to log in or like log out and log back in to a device.
Mm.
Netflix has unveiled its plans to prevent password sharing between people in households outside of an account's owner's primary location. So they warned about this for a while.
Yep.
They said, hey, we're going to do this.
Mm.
But people were curious, how will you implement such things? How many devices can I have? Yeah. What about my cottage or what about when I'm traveling? This was originally reported by GHacks. The streaming service has detailed how it aims to crack down on account sharing. In an updated FAQ, the information varies between countries. But it looks like the company will be paying careful attention to the devices used to log into the accounts. Here's the FAQ for pages in the US and UK. Devices may require verification if they are not associated with the Netflix household or if they attempt to access an account outside the subscriber's primary location for an extended period of time. That's not incredibly specific, but you can imagine here, if you log in, say, at a relative's house,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, well, let's just watch my Netflix for a bit. Well, at some point, they're going to be prompted to re-log in.
Uh-huh.
The company will use information such as IP addresses, device IDs, and account activity. And the new rules state that devices must connect to the Wi-Fi at the primary location and watch something on Netflix at least once every 31 days.
Mm.
Super interesting. They got that, by the way, from the Costa Rican Help Center. So people are... They're pooling together information from all these different regional sites and policies to try to figure out how Netflix is actually going to implement this. But it appears it's going to get more difficult increasingly. And if you're currently password sharing, it might not be the comfiest thing to do into the future. And then you also got to look at Netflix as a company and what that's going to mean for their bottom line as potentially people either add accounts or cancel accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It either pisses them off to the extent that they cancel, or those people that had been previously password sharing have to upgrade accounts or get accounts of their own.
And wouldn't it affect their hours watched per like show or movie, which will hurt their bottom line?
Retention.
I think it's going to drop.
Well, again, the advertising model is new for them, the ad tier, but you're right. They're always out there parading around their retention numbers mm-hmm. and their hit shows and how many people
watch.
Yeah, that's not just how they are able to claim that they're a successful company, but it's also how they attract content creators,
sure,
movie makers and so forth, who rely on their projects being seen in order to get their next job. So when they cut that exclusive deal, and obviously there's money involved, but when they cut that exclusive deal with Netflix, it's a good thing to them that then means that people will see their project.
Mm-hmm.
Promotes them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to this story, though. Netflix now offers spatial audio and 700-plus titles, but only for the most expensive plan, which, by the way, is like 20-something bucks now. It's in the 20s. Mm. Spatial audio is obviously very fun and cool, and I really enjoy it when I'm watching on a mobile device.
Oh, not just headphones?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
On a mobile device, like an iPad, is kind of where it's...
I thought it only works in headphones.
Yeah.
No? What?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. So you watch it with a mobile device and headphones.
Well, what else are you going to watch with headphones? Do you use headphones on your couch, like watching TV? I mean, I guess some people do, but...
No. But I thought you were just watching on a mobile device without headphones.
Oh, no, no. You got to have headphones.
Gotcha.
But it could be a phone or a tablet, but I just think that the phone is the experience. You got this great sound, but this tiny screen is...
Gotcha.
You're kind of trying to match. I just think the tablet is more ideal. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Netflix is hoping audiophiles will upgrade to the $20 per month premium tier to gain access to the streamer's full collection of content that supports spatial audio. Netflix initially announced support for theater-like spatial audio using existing... Oh, look at this. Stereo speakers. So no.
Oh.
They're going to provide it with stereo speakers as well. Spatial audio, in theory, provides a 360-degree audio experience, including... Well, this is the problem using this terminology, spatial audio, because with the headphones, it's doing head tracking, which is what is giving you the interpretation of space. I'm not sure how that's implemented with stereo speakers. There's no head tracking inside.
Maybe just surround sound?
Inside the hardware. It's not monitoring your head's location in space.
No.
360-degree audio experience. Netflix announced that spatial audio is now available on more than 700 of its most watched titles. I mean, it needs to be in the software as well for the different titles. It got Stranger Things. Glass Onion is in there. And it plans to add it to more popular titles in the future. The expanded list of movies and TV shows with spatial audio is available only on Netflix Premium. That's going to be the key. I don't know if they're going to list the price here, but it's one more differentiating factor. Oh, here they go. Spatial audio on Premium, the highest quality sound experience, whether they are watching at home on TV, computer, or on the go with a phone or tablet. A game changer in the premium viewing plan, high-end feature. You're also getting 4K HDR Dolby Atmos. Yeah, we knew about that. There. This is the technical explanation we need. It's right there. Netflix is upping... Right there. Netflix's spatial audio can be reproduced via the built-in stereo speakers on any device. That said, according to the company, its support of spatial audio is primarily optimized for laptops and tablets. Yeah, of course it is. The streamer launched spatial audio using Sennheiser's Ambio 2-channel spatial audio, which translates original immersive mixes into 2-channel audio. Okay, listen. This seems very complex. I think the experience is still going to be at its best in headphones, no matter what they're stating here.
Right.
You know, maybe you have a more immersive experience on speakers slightly. Mm. And obviously, if you have a surround sound setup, it doesn't matter because that's even another level to it. But when you have headphones on, you're watching on a mobile device, that's where the spatial audio really kicks in, gotcha. In my experience. Apple and Google face mounting pressure to remove TikTok from app stores. Ooh, again.
Always, yeah.
We're back to this topic. It hasn't been a tremendous amount of pressure since Trump.
Uh-huh.
But you do recall...
But there's a lot of states that's banned TikToks and government devices.
Government devices. But Trump was talking about chopping it out completely way back. God, way back at this point. Senator Michael Bennett wrote directly to Tim Cook and Sundar Pichai Thursday, calling on their companies to remove downloads of the app. This is not going to go away. This is going to keep happening. Mm. Senator Michael Bennett, who's a Democrat, by the way, demanded that Apple, I don't know why I assume, maybe because Trump was on the Republican side, a Democrat wants to get rid of it. Apple and Google immediately removed TikTok from their app stores. Bennett's push to restrict downloads of the app is just the latest in a series of mounting congressional actions to ban the embattled Chinese-owned app since January. Republicans and Democrats have been calling for either their colleagues or Biden to quickly impose stricter data collection restrictions or a nationwide ban on the app, citing risks to U.S. national security. TikTok's vast influence and aggressive data collection pose a specific threat to U.S. national security because of its parent company's obligations under Chinese law. Given these grave and growing concerns, I ask that you remove TikTok from your respective app stores immediately. Whoa. Well, we've known about the extensive data collection going on there. And obviously, you can point at other apps that are that also have extensive data collection that are not based in China. But this is extensive data collection, which is exported. Mm. That data is traveling across the ocean. And that's where the national security component comes in. This would not be exclusive to the U.S. Other nations have done similar things. Famously, as we talked about on this show, India banned TikTok a long time ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago. That's it. It's done. Choose something else, watch something else. And they even were attempting to push homegrown versions. Mm. It's interesting because TikTok obviously has tremendous momentum. Right. Just the word, like everybody knows it, gets it and so forth. But you do wonder now with YouTube getting into shorts and Instagram moving so heavily into reels, how much people will be bothered by TikTok specifically no longer existing if they would just substitute it for one of these other ones, which has implemented most of the features that it has.
Right. And it's homegrown.
You've used more TikTok than I have. Is there some like critical aspect beyond algorithm and recommendations?
Man, I don't know. Maybe it's just friends using it, you know? I would imagine if I was a teenager and all my friends were using this specific app, I have to use it, right? But if it's not there anymore, then probably just adopt another app that has, you're right, probably the same features.
Okay. Mm. So yeah, we'll wait and see what happens over here. Mm-hmm. Amazon's drone delivery made less than 10 home deliveries in a month.
It's not looking good.
Well, they're just like, listen, man, this stuff is hard. Wow, look at this fake backyard where they're showing, demoing.
It looks like a home improvement with Tim Allen.
Yeah, it's so funny with the fake blue sky.
Yeah.
Residents of Lockford, California and College Station, Texas have previously expressed safety concerns over the company's drones. I mean, it looks like it has some decent protection around the propellers, but it could still fall on your head.
It looks huge, though.
It does look huge. Is it just the angle? I like the guy's expression on the far right side. That guy right there. He's doing the thumbnail right now. He's like, Amazon Prime Air received clearance from the FAA to bring drone delivery to Lockford and College Station in November and December of 2022. Customers were finally able to purchase their favorite products and have them shipped via Amazon Prime Air. However, sources close to the project told the information this week that Amazon's drones have only delivered packages to fewer than 10 houses in two towns by mid-January. So this happened December 2022. So you got like, what, I don't know, a month? In a month, it really hasn't delivered too many things. The lull in deliveries is likely due to tricky clearance from the Federal Aviation Administration, which states that Amazon's drones cannot fly over roads or people without case-by-case permission. Amazon has so far only been able to release drone deliveries in two towns. Well, there's going to be heavy restrictions on this. Like, people are probably clicking drone air, Amazon Air, and it's like, oh, not available right now, or not available to your address, or whatever it is. It's just going to be very restrictive in the immediate future.
Yeah.
But I can't say. I mean, I was surprised they were even able to get clearance to do a test run of it, even to do 10 of them.
Uh-huh.
Lockford has a population of 3,500, and College Station has a population of 120,000, and Amazon received FAA approval to bring Amazon Prime Air to these towns back in November and December. But only two houses in Lockford received three drone deliveries, while only five houses in College Station. Hmm. Yeah, listen, it's people are worried they're going to have hefty restrictions on the thing. You're eventually going to have a news story. Someone tries to shoot one down. Like, mm-hmm. Of course, that's going to happen.
It is a cool concept, though.
Well, yeah, it's extremely...
Very futuristic.
A lot of people understand it immediately. They're like, well, I mean, the air. Look at the air. There's nothing in the mm-hmm. air.
Yeah,
look
no
at all
traffic.
This traffic over here.
Yeah.
But it's definitely one of those concepts that is easy to understand and get behind, but then extremely difficult to implement and deal with all the restrictions and regulations and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And risk factors, because we can't ignore the risk factors. Like, as soon as something goes wrong, people are like, why are they even in our driveways to begin with after it falls, you know, has some malfunction.
They're spying on us.
Or privacy. It's just like everything else. It's like everything else.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck to Amazon and everyone. I mean, Amazon doesn't need me wishing them good luck, by the way.
They're doing pretty
well.
Yeah,
I think I told you before. Heard? Yeah, Jeff he's flexing right now, man. He's got his shades on and he's investing in some sort of AI lawyer. And his AI lawyer is going to argue why his drones should be delivering all the things.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with him.
And they'll be... making the case to all the parties and regulators, and they're going to take one look at this and be instantly agree.
Uh-huh.
And if they don't, he's going to kick them out of his arena in Seattle.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, thank you very much to everybody who joined here today. We do definitely appreciate it. Thank you for all the super chats. And remember, if you want to participate in these live broadcasts on a daily basis during the week, get out of here. Come on, with a seriously daily basis during the week. All you got to do is hit the notification bell, because this lives on the live tab and not on the videos tab. So it's pretty much the best way to make sure you can partake and participate, including tomorrow morning for an early show. A coffee show. Get yourself a coffee tomorrow morning. It's going to be bright and early. You're going to wake up with us tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, depending on where you are in the world. It'll be a few hours, maybe even 4 hours before our usual time because of other obligations I have. But guess what? I didn't let those other obligations get in the way of the show. Instead, I just wake up earlier.
That's dedication. Good job.
Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow. Later.